This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. If you hear the word Europe, you might find yourself thinking of great places to travel or history or family roots. If you're an auto executive and you hear the word Europe, you will likely heave a great big sigh and take a couple of more aspirin for your growing headache. That's because the Detroit automakers stand to lose a stunning $4 billion in Europe this year. And trying to muscle through the kinds of changes that save the auto industry here in North America is a totally different challenge in Europe. So let's talk about the bleak picture in Europe for the Detroit automakers. Joining me in the studio, always good to have them here with us, we have Michelle Krebs with Edmunds.com. Welcome back, Michelle.
Thank you.
And we have Michigan Radio's auto reporter Tracy Samilton with us. Hey, Tracy.
Hey.
So, Michelle, let's start with you. Just how bad is it in Europe for the car makers? When we hear more than $4 billion in losses, that has got to be giving a lot of executives some pretty big gray hair.
Well, sure. And thank goodness North America is healthy and it hasn't been contagious. That has been one of the concerns of the last couple of years and probably is going forward, that what's happening in Europe would spread to the U.S. But fortunately, it's the U.S. that's keeping the Detroit automakers buoyed.
But that can only go for so long, right? Who's been hit the hardest of the companies?
It's hard to say because, GM's had Opel there and has lost money even in the good years. So they're losing money. They had a little bit of an improvement in that in the first quarter. Ford lost more money than they did last year in the first quarter. And then, Chrysler's associated with Fiat, and Fiat's in tough shape.
They're all losing money. Nobody is buying cars in Europe right now.
Let's talk about what is actually fueling the collapse of auto sales. We read papers and hear headlines over here about very, very hard times in Greece and Ireland and Italy, Portugal and Spain. So people can't buy new cars when their taxes are being raised and government austerity measures are hurting them so badly. Let's talk more about that. What don't we know about what's killing auto sales in Europe?
Well, the other problem is their population. It's a mature market, so they aren't having a lot of babies. They're not creating new drivers. And there's this lopsided economics of, an older population that requires a lot more pension. There aren't young people coming into the job market to support that whole infrastructure.
And they haven't gone through the same restructuring that we've done here in the U.S., where you have too many plants, you have too many people working for the demand. Here in the U.S., we have essentially pared most of that down. They are basically where we were 3, 4, 5 years ago in Germany and in the U.K. and in several regions. And it's much more difficult to close a plant, much more difficult to lay off a worker in most European countries than it is here.
Let's talk about why. We certainly saw how hard it was on the people who work for the auto industry in any way, shape, or form while the restructuring was going on. UAW, of course, was such a partner with that. So talk to us about what's different in Europe that's making it so hard.
Well, part of it is the EU. So no country, no government in any country wants a plant in their part of the world closing. Mm-hmm. So right there you have a huge political issue. We think that the battles between the states is challenging. It's really difficult when you're battling between countries.
And then the union situation.
Unions are in a stronger position politically than they are here in the U.S. at this point.
Are there more unions?
There seems to be a lot more unions.
they often have union representatives on their board of directors. So they have a lot more say in how the companies work.
It's interesting when you think about what was the idea behind the EU. Let's get unified. We'll speak as one Europe and get away from the patchwork quilt of currencies and policies and you name it. Michelle, that I see you're shaking the head. That certainly has not happened.
Well, that was the idea, but where are the so you have a Germany that has a strong automaking base, and you have countries like Greece that don't.
Yeah.
So you're pitting those two against each other, and so obviously Germany is flexing some muscle. This is not a new problem. There has been overcapacity in Europe for a long, long time. There are way too many factories producing way too many vehicles for a market is not keeping up with that.
Can you compare worse than it was here in North America at the worst? Or, give us an idea.
It probably has been for longer, but we have addressed that.
Yes.
And we have a growing population. We're expecting a lot of new drivers going forward if the young people would ever start getting their licenses of driving cars. But we have a vibrant group coming up, especially with Gen X.
Yes.
And Gen Y. Closing the plants is just incredibly difficult.
So what? So what options are there, and what needs to be done by the Detroit car makers?
Well, the best that they seem to be able to do at this point is reduce their losses, not get rid of them, reduce them. And all of the companies, you might say maybe Fiat's a little farther down the road, but all of them say they have a plan to be break even by 2015. That's not making money. That's breaking even.
And what would they
have
to do?
And then after that, they have to close these plants. They are in discussions with the unions. They do have to reduce their labor force. They're working on it, but it's going to take some time.
Not like it took here.
No, it'll take much longer. I've heard Sergio Marchionne say he'll be surprised if it turns around by 2019. I don't know if that's what he's still saying, but this is going to take longer. It's been longer in the making, and it's really reaching ahead right now after it's been building for a long, long time.
I'm talking with Michelle Krebs with Edmunds.com and Michigan Radio's auto reporter Tracy Samilton as we go over really the dire situation in Europe for the Detroit car makers. And people listening who work with the auto companies, work in the supply base, work for dealers, I've got to only imagine people are saying, well, all right, how could all of this trouble in Europe, could it affect me? Could it affect anyone who's associated with the auto industry here in Michigan? Could I worry about jobs and wages? So what do you think out looking at the long range?
Well, I'll give you a little example of one of the impacts. Because the German automakers are looking for markets for their cars, they're looking more closely at the U.S. That creates more competition. That can depress prices. The BMW and Mercedes have been really going at it here for luxury car leadership. That puts a lot of pressure on everybody when everybody's so competitive like that.
I'm wondering, has the EU, have the brains in Brussels come up with any kind of constructive plan to help the automakers? Or is there just kind of an attitude toward North American car makers? Well, you're North American.
When you look at, say, General Motors and their Opel brand, mm-hmm. I mean, they very, very much consider Opel a German brand. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that they would take an ad, but they do look at the profits that General Motors is making and saying, well, no, we're not going to give you
a loan to get
Opel out. Mm-hmm. Look at your profits that are coming from North America. And so they use that as an excuse not to step in and give General Motors the loans that they want to restructure Opel.
It's like running on a hamster wheel.
Yes.
I bet that's how they feel.
I'm sure they do.
So what are you both going to be watching for going forward? And what should we all with a stake, what should we look for, Michelle?
Well, I'm going to look for, is the whole European situation going to affect the economy in the U.S., the automakers here in the U.S.? So far, we have not seen that spread, mm-hmm. which is a good thing. But I am also going to look for strategies of, what are the German automakers? What are the auto? And another issue we didn't raise is the whole Japanese currency issue. I'm watching that very closely mm-hmm. because that could put some pricing pressure on everybody here, too. So while we think all these things happen overseas, they do have an impact here. So I'm going to be watching that in terms of how that will impact pricing of vehicles and sales, making sure our economy stays strong. And continues
yes.
to grow, it continues to strengthen. It seems real fragile all of the time. So
you know, it does. There's that sense
mm-hmm.
we've been
on eggshells.
Yeah, or a little bit, more than a little bit snake bit, having seen how bad things were, you don't take for granted the fact that these good reports are rolling
well,
in.
Well, in April came in under our forecast. So we are not sounding the alarm yet, but we are a little concerned. May is always a huge month, so we'll see where that comes in. But we were quite surprised that it wasn't quite as strong as we expected.
What are you watching for, Tracy?
I'm watching the numbers. I'm watching to see how the auto companies really can, by cost-saving measures, bring down their losses. Mm-hmm. How quickly can they close those plants? It's kind of like a race. If we can close that plant, you know, that we want to close in Belgium, all of a sudden, you know, a lot of that cost is taken off the company, and all of a sudden their bottom line is going to look better. And I'm also looking at what Ford is doing in particular, because they say we're doing exactly what we did in North America that worked so well. At the time when everybody else is struggling, we're going to invest heavily in our products so that when everything's on the upswing, bang, here we are with all these great new products. And I'm very interested to see if it works in Europe the same way it worked here.
And by the way, it can't be done on all cost cutting. I mean, if you're going to stay in Europe, you have to keep your products fresh. And that is part of the Opal strategy, too, of introducing new products. So it always has to be the revenue side as well as the cost side.
Just a fascinating interplay of so many movable parts in all of this. And so when we're watching the nightly news and we see demonstrations outside auto plants by workers saying you're not going to close our plant in Belgium or wherever, we know exactly where the effect is hitting. Mm-hmm. Well, always great talking with both of you. Michelle Krebs with Edmunds.com and Michigan Radio's auto reporter Tracy Samilton. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A pleasure.